Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, Amen, amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, here we go. Lord, keep me on my knees to pray. Lord, keep me on my knees to pray. One of the things during the walk of a believer is there's areas and times and seasons that we get cold to this right here of what we're going to talk about, and that is our prayer time. Prayer. Let me just say this. Prayer is the essence of God's heart. This is where we can hear God. This is where God can change our heart. You know, I shared with this brother, I'll share this quickly, good friend of mine. He's going through a horrendous time in his relationship with his wife. And I'm not going to go into any details other than this. I said, brother, do what Job did. I don't care what she's done. I don't even want to know about it. I don't care how grievous it was. I don't want to know about it. I said, do what Job did. You know what Job did? Job prayed for his enemies. He said, I'm going to bless you. Bless them, God. Supply their need, oh God. Lord, wherever they're hurting, oh God, Lord, bless. I said, when you start doing that, God's going to change your heart. It's easy to criticize, critique, to be vengeful. And I said this, and it stunned him. I said, when you start praying, give her panic attacks. Oh God, let her get face planted. I go, you're doing the work of a witch. Because that's what witches and warlocks do. They do. And they think God's going to move on that. God is not the genie in the bottle. God is a loving God. Listen, when he was on the cross, after being mocked, bled, his whole countenance was broken before mankind. And before he allowed himself to die on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. So can we find ourselves sometimes in situations like that where we can totally surrender to God and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me tell you, when you start learning the heart of God, it's going to be through prayer and having his word and understand what he expects us to grow in areas that sometimes they're calloused. And we need God to chisel those things away so that we can operate in the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Aren't you so blessed that when we sin, God doesn't send lightning bolts on us? Huh? When we had that moment of lust, when we had that moment that we want to criticize someone, aren't you so blessed that he doesn't say, what's up with you? No. He wants us to have his heart. And the way we're going to have his heart is through a biblical perspective. How many love the Word of God? We're here because of the Word, amen? And so with that, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to do our best to expound verses 5 through 8. So here we go. And it reads, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, who sees in secret and will reward you openly. Wow. That's what Job did. And God blessed him tenfold. Look at verse 7 here. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Isn't that something? Before we even come to him, God already knows your situation. He already knows your predicament. He already knows how to solve your issues. And yet, when we come to him, all he's wanting us to do is to acknowledge what he already knows. He already knows. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? He's all-powerful. Those are the attributes of God. If he created everything in the universe, don't you think he cares about you, who he created? We are the most highly created beings on the planet. Above every other animal and beast, we are separated from them. Why? Because he placed within us a soul. Animals don't have souls. We do. And where the soul is in us, this is where our emotions, our memory of who we are. We identify ourselves. We start identifying ourselves around the age of 3, 4, 5 years of age. You know, I just remember my name being called every day when I was that age. Placido, Placido, Placido. It wasn't Fee back then. I got that in the 8th grade. But then I understood that's who I am. Well, that's our soul. And with our soul, we go through roller coasters of emotions throughout every day of our life. But if we have a biblical perspective, we know how to confine those emotions and put them into a biblical content. And once we do that, God will show us when situations arise, how we can handle them without getting and moving into despair. Because we could easily go into despair. But if we have God's word and understanding, my goodness, we can then move in this life with joy, even in the midst of our turmoil. Can I get amen? Amen. All right, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. One of the most powerful assets and practical gifts the Lord has given Christian is the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. But look at this, saints. But it's often neglected because we're not uncertain whether it influences God or not. You see, saints, instead of approaching the Lord with confidence that he'll hear and answer, we'll have a hope-so attitude. I hope so. I believe he heard me. We'll have that kind of prayer life. You have to go into prayer knowing that he's heard you. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. We serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Well, here's one of the keys. We're going to go to the scripture this morning. Here's one of the keys on how you and I can truly hear from God. How many of you right now are still waiting to hear from God? Okay, let's look at this. In Matthew 7, 7 through 11, look at this. Jesus told his disciples, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, you give him a stone? How rotten would that be? Jesus is, he's just painting a picture here. Listen, if your child is hungry, you're going to give them some food. You don't give them a stone. You don't neglect your child. You love your child, right? Well, God loves us. No different. He loves us the same way. Look at this. Verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Meaning a snake. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? There it is right there. God wants us to have good things in life, blessed things in life. And all we have to do is humble ourselves and go before him and inquire the Lord, ask for these things. Saints, that's when he assures us that our Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. How many of you believe that God cares for you? Amen. He does. And even human fathers get good gifts. I try to give good gifts to my kids when I can. Tell them how much I love them. A lot of times, a hug and an embrace goes a lot farther than a toy. Can I get amen? You tell them how much you love them and that they're loved. Kids want to know that they're secure, that they have a, why? Because they don't see God yet like we do. So when we show them the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, now you're introducing them how God would look at them later on in life. And so with this in mind, let's consider several aspects of prayer that answer the question. Let's look at this right up here. Number one, why does God bid us to pray? Why does he says, come and pray? Okay, because we can have the attitude, well, God, you already know everything. I don't need to come to you. No, that's not the point at all. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants us to engage in a relationship with him. And so we're going to look at reasons to pray. Reasons. I'm hoping that God will get a hold of our minds this morning and that we can apply the text to this message. And so number one, prayer honors God. Know this, it honors God. And I got scripture to back it up. Look at this in Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Who's that? God, Jesus, he inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Look at this. I dwell in the high and holy place and with him who has a, now here's the key for you and I. With him who has a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. These are the brokenhearted. These are the ones that humbly come before God. They're not coming to him like he's a genie in the bottle. They're coming to him because he is God Almighty and we surrender our life to him. We say, oh God, you already know my dilemma. You already know what I'm going through. But God, let your perfect will be done. And when you start engaging in a relationship with him, he does the miraculous. He does the miraculous. How many believe he's a miracle working God? And so saints, the key is when we humble ourselves in prayer before the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, we honor him by acknowledging that he controls everything and he is the source of all of our needs. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen that he does that? He understands me? Look at this right up here. Number two, prayer is a primary means for spiritual growth. Okay, so if you want to grow with the Lord, prayer is part of that aspect. It's when we get into prayer and understand these things. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look what the Word of God reads right here in 2 Peter 3. Look at this. You therefore, beloved, he's talking to us, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow, here's the key, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both the glory now forever and ever. That is the key. And the way we obtain knowledge and wisdom is through prayer, meditation on the word, and understanding what God is saying to us. It's very simple. How many believe that it's very simple that God understands, no matter how complicated our situation is, God understands it. And he knows how to fix us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, as we read God's word, saints of God, pray in response and obey what he says. He will speak to us. He will speak. I think it was a couple of years ago. My wife was going through something. It was a personal thing with her. And I was in the other room. I heard God speak loud and clear. Go and comfort her. Go. Shut that off. Go and comfort her. And I just turned it off. I went in the room. And guess what? Without any words, all I did was embrace her. And I said, everything's going to be all right. And it was a right on time moment. Because sometimes we need to be embraced. Can I get an amen? We need someone to come alongside and just hold us and say, everything's going to be all right. God's going to take care of our issues, our deep, deep issues. Because he loves us. He loves us. He'll enlighten our understanding so we can grow in the knowledge of him and intimacy with him, as I just alluded to. But, saints of God, hear me clear. But prayerlessness is a road to spiritual defeat because we'll lack God's power in our Christian walk. If you're not praying and not in his presence and not empowered by him, guess what? The enemy is going to have his perfect way. Can I get amen? Yes, he will. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Let's look at number three. Look at this. Prayer is a way to participate in God's work. Prayer. Listen, we don't leave this room in the morning unless we hear from God. Can I get amen? We just don't show up. We just don't show up. All right, you guys ready? Let's go. No, we seek God's face, right? We pray. Sometimes it's an urgency to pray. How many believe we live in a time that there's great urgency now? Oh, come on. Our society is falling by the wayside. I spoke to five people this past week. They have taken their kids out of public school on what they're teaching them. They're teaching three-year-olds, do you want to be a boy or a girl? Come on. That's from the devil. Can I get amen? That's from Satan himself. And if you want to shut me off on YouTube and Facebook, go ahead. Take me off. But we live in some radical times. Because we live in radical times, we need to be a radical people. We got to stand for truth in the days we live in. That's right. And so we need to be about God's work on this earth before he returns. Listen, did you know just the little greeter that greets you? That is huge in God's kingdom. Listen, every job is significant to him. Everything we do is significant. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
A prayer offered with a pure heart in accordance with his will is powerful, saints of God. It's like a triangle. Picture a triangle. Our intercessions go up to the Father in heaven, who then responds by impacting the lives of the recipients to achieve his purposes. Can I get amen? And that person is blessed, and God is glorified in the whole process. It's engaging with God. Look at number four. Prayer is the means by which our needs are met. How many of you want your needs met? Hallelujah. Well, guess what? Engage with him. Be in communication with, be in fellowship with God. Because God knows everything before we even ask. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that, preacher? Well, the word of God tells me. Look at this. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Wow. Again, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Praise God. And he's omnipresent. He fills all space. So your need right now could be the same need somewhere around the world, and he heard your prayer at the same time. What? See, we're but little puny brains down here. But God is concerned of every aspect of your life. Why? Because he created us to bless us. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. Yes, he did. Listen, the Bible says he formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb. And we are meticulously created by him. He didn't make no error. Look to your neighbor. I don't see no error. And don't laugh. There's no error. Aren't you so blessed? There's no error in us. Praise God. There is no error. Hey, listen. I don't care how many times in life you fumble the football. And how many of us fumble the football in life? Huh? How many times? Oh, come on. Well, here's what you do. You pick it back up and you keep running. Can I get an amen? You pick it up and keep running. Oh, come on. And don't let the enemy get that ball. Pick it up and keep running. We're going to fail God at times. We're going to fail one another. Why? Because it's our human nature. There's sin in our members. Paul, when he got saved, he said, now I understand this. There's a war in my members now. Before, he was a legalistic Pharisee. You know, he was from the line of Benjamin. You know, this guy was the attorney of the day. You know, he was all about the law of Moses until God saved him. And then guess what? When he got saved, he threw that stuff away. He said, I count it all but dung to obtain Christ. And guess what dung means in the Old Testament? Poo-poo. It does. Look it up. Praise God. Saints of God, requesting his provision honors him by acknowledging that we're totally dependent upon him to meet our needs. How many can say that, God, I need you for everything in my life? Praise God. And so I'm going to show you now some scriptures where God exhorts us. What does exhort means? He's admonishing you. He's saying, engage in what I'm about to say to you. Take heed to it. In other words, it's application to the word of God that if we hear, put it in our spirit, and then apply it, we're going to go 1,000 miles with him just in one day. And so we got to look at exhortations to pray. Let's look at this. Look at this. Luke 6:28. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. What? Well, wait a minute. Preacher, you don't know what they did. And guess what I say? It don't matter what they've done. Bible says, Bishop brought it out clearly last week. You pray for your enemy. It's like pouring hot coal on their head. They start to melt. And guess what? It changes your heart. It changes their perspective. And then all of a sudden, God starts doing the miraculous. He starts to reconcile. Because what has he called us to be? Ministers of what? Reconciliation. Because he's reconciled us back to the Father. Praise God. Look at this. Look at this next verse of scripture. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into what? Temptation. Listen, we're going to be tempted every day. And when that temptation comes to you, I don't care what it is. It could be anything that it tempts us. We all are tailor-made differently than one another. Can I get an amen? Your temptation may not tempt me, but someone else's temptation may tempt me as well. When you're about to walk into that temptation, pray. Say, God, stop me in my tracks. God, I don't want to see this. I don't want to put my eyes on that. I want to put my ears to that, God. Help me. It could be anything. It could be anything. Do you know who James Dobbs, Focus of the Family, is? He did a survey. He said when there's Christian prophecy conferences or conferences in general, they did a survey with the hotels. The majority of the Christian men are watching pornography. Oh, I'm away now. I'm by myself now. No, God is seeing everything you're doing. Jesus is sitting right next to you. Oh, did you like that? Really? Keep on looking. We need God every moment. Can I get an amen? And listen, what I'm saying for all of us here, it's a boomerang back to me. Can I get amen? The Bible says there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. If what I'm preaching truth here, it's for me too. I'm not immune to it. Can I get amen? Oh, come on. We all can fail at times. All of us. Can I get amen? But we need leaders to strengthen the body. Can I get amen? We need men and women to be raised up in faith to proclaim and to uphold the precepts and the truths of God. Nowadays, church has evolved to smoke machines and blue lights and, you know, and all this noise. Thank God we don't have no fog machine in here. What I want to see is the glory cloud. Real quickly, where Bishop and I were raised up under his dad's ministry at North Park Apostolic, we had a worship service, and it was like, whoa, the music didn't stop. It just kept coming. It kept coming. And the anointing was so thick. And then we all looked up, and there was like a cloud inside. And across the street, there was a gas station. And the attendant thought the church was on fire. He called the fire department. And the fire marshals came in. Where's the fire? They said, it's right here. The glory of God. And man, everyone in there, man, the corners of their mouth were pinned in their ears with so much anointing and joy. My God, I want to see that come back. But let me just say this. That leadership, that those worshipers were fasting and praying. Hallelujah. That God would show up. That's what it takes, fasting and praying, hallelujah, and fellowship, and locking arms with one another, and wanting to meet with God. My goodness, that's what we need. Brother Art, you were there. You were there when the glory came in, and the cloud was in the air, and we all looked up. Man, I never seen anything like it. And if I was working across the street, I would have called the fire department too. Hey man, what's going on? There's smoke in there. It was God's presence. The glory cloud came in. Look at this right here in Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to what? To send out laborers into the harvest. This is what we need. We need God to raise up men and women to go and proclaim, to share, to reach, to go to the hospitals, lay hands on the sick, watch them recover. When people are going through some serious situations, don't ridicule, don't even ask what's going on. Just pray and say, God, be the God of restoration. God, restore. God, bless. God, heal. I don't want to know the junk that's in the trunk. Why? Because there's junk in my trunk. We all got junk. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We don't point out people's stuff. We say, God, help them, Lord. Bless them, oh God. Help them go through what they're going through, God. Hallelujah. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, meaning God supernaturally opens up your vision of God. Look at this. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. His calling. Did you know that God has called you? He's called you and I. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? God has blessed us with an inheritance that's beyond comprehension. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? There is supernatural power that God has given each and every one of his believers. Power. I'm talking Holy Ghost power, power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Speak a word of faith and watch them come into the saving knowledge. Hallelujah. You speak into situations that they're going through and watch God do a breakthrough. Watch God open up the heavens and pour a blessings upon them they can't even contain. And then they come back and say, oh God, you are awesome in power. This is what, pray for the healing rooms, because some radical miracles are taking place. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And look at this in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? It's his mighty power. Aren't you so blessed? He's got mighty power. So he wrote that, and he wrote this. Look at this in Colossians. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let me just say this. The majority of the epistles that are in the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. But guess where he wrote those? In prison. In prison. He wrote this. Listen. The prison he was in was not Donovan's. Donovan's had hot and cold running water. They had toilets, man. They had showers. They had even sometimes big screen TV somewhere you could watch stuff like that. In his day and time, he was chained up to other prisoners, and it was rat infested. The rats would crawl over their feet, and they would try to kick them off. The stench was horrible. They had to defecate on themselves. And yet, he wrote, count it all joy. How can you count it all joy? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had the power of God in him. And when you have the power of God in him, I don't care what predicament you're in, God will turn your situation from darkness to light. He'll give you a paradigm change. He'll give you a whole different mindset. So you know what? This is not that bad. I'm going to endure this until he sets me free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. No matter what comes our way, God is with us. How many believe that? How many believe that? Look at that. Let's go back to that word right up here. Look at this. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open up us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Meaning, the truth that went forth, that he would see it come to pass in people's lives. How many of you want to see people saved? How many of you have relatives, friends, co-workers, children, grandchildren, parents that don't serve God? They just don't. And don't beat them on the head. You love them to the kingdom. You love them. Oh, man. That's going to be a preacher right up there. She said, yes and amen, preacher. Praise God. I got to pause on that one right there. But listen, when you start to operate in the power of God, this is how God will use you. Look at this. Look at this. In James, is anyone sick among you? Look at this. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What? That's how easy it is. Is when we humble ourselves. Is when we fall on our face and say, God, I surrender. I've been doing this all my life my way. All of us, in one way or another, we've been having a Burger King life. Having it my way. Can I get an amen? But God is saying now, hey, okay, you tried it that way, but look where it got you. Now do it my way and watch me bless your life. How many believe that? Amen. God is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances, and it goes on. Can I get amen? There's nothing that God cannot heal. There's nothing that God cannot forgive. There's nothing that God cannot fix. You may think that person's all broken up and you've already thrown through the, or heard through the curve. Say, okay, God says, oh, okay, that's all right. Now let me go pick them up and watch what I do with them. My goodness. God wants to do so much. See, prayer, promises are established through prayer. Let's look at this for a moment. Promises of prayer. How many love promises? And how many of you love promises that are kept? It disappoints when promises are broken. I get that. I've had promises broken many times in my life. And God had to deal with my heart to forgive and let go. But through prayer, promises are established through prayer. Look what God says in his word. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In his name. In whose name? Jesus' name. And if you're a child of God, his name is all over you. He's in you. And his spirit lives within you. Can I get an amen? Wow. Saints, this doesn't mean that we can get anything we want from God if we tack on the phrase, in Jesus' name. I want you to hear this clearly. To pray in his name means we place ourselves under his authority and ask our petitions in submission to his will. Did you catch that? When we submit to his will, now the supernatural takes place. But we have to submit to his will. Look what John wrote. He wrote this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be what? Done for you. You see, it's about abiding in him. How many of you do you believe you're abiding in him? Amen. Abide in him. That means fellowship with him. That means he's in you and you're in him. Saints, this promise is conditioned on abiding in Christ and having his words remaining in our uttermost part of our life. How many of you want everything that God has? Huh? I do. I want everything that God has for me before he takes us home. I still have grandkids. I still have brothers and sisters. I come from a family of 11 brothers and sisters. I was privileged to lead my mom and dad to Christ before they went home. But I still have 8 brothers and sisters that are not walking with God. There's only 3 of us. I've always asked God, God, we all grew up together. He says, just lift them up to me and let me take care of that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He says, just don't figure it out. Don't think that they're a worse sinner than you were. No, don't even go there. Just lift them up in prayer to me. And when he does the miraculous, man, that's a time to rejoice. Can I get an amen? Because here's the thing. Let's just say these people in your life never get saved, and then we all go to heaven. He's not going to give us a memory of all that no more. So we're not going to be up there heartached, because heartache is a type of sin. Sin is not going to go up there. We're not going to have worry. We're not going to suffer up there. We're going to have a whole different body, a whole different mind, and we will understand God's ways and wills even more clear. Matter of fact, he will speak to us just by speaking to our mind, because we'll be a spiritual being like him. Totally different from flesh. Oh, that's right, saints of God. Look what 1 John right here. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you catch that? According to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? It's walking in his will. I told my friend, just because you're going through a hard time, don't curse nobody out. Pray for them, bless them, even when it hurts. And when I said, don't be like a witch or a warlock, because that's what they do. They'll say, God, curse them. Oh, God, destroy them, God. God's not going to do that, because that's not his nature. Witches and warlocks do that. Don't get caught up in that. You bless them like Job. I bless my friend who said I was in sin. Oh, God, cover them. Bless their needs, oh, God. That's harder to do, but yet that's God's way. You want to be blessed? Do it God's way. Or stay thick-headed. Get them, God. Sick them, God. Look what they did, God. Bash them on the head. Oh, we do it out of vengeance. We do it out of hurt. And God is saying, don't do that. Give them to me. And pray for them who despitefully use you. Pray for them. And watch God do the miraculous. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Look what King David wrote right up here. Because how many of you want answers to your prayer? Huh? How many of you want God to answer your prayers? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, here's what King David wrote. Here's the answer to our situations right here. I waited patiently for the Lord. We don't know how long patient can be. Oh, but God, I prayed 5 years ago. Stay patient. No, we want popcorn prayers. We want microwave prayers. God, now, God, now. Look at this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Look at this. And he heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. How many of you have been in horrible pits? Out of the miry clay, look at this. And he set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. And many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. Why? Because when he answers, you will glorify him and magnify him. And then God will look at us with a happy face, say, you waited for me. And then others who have been praying with you, they will go, wow, look at God. Because we have to defer it to him. Amen. Defer it to God. Just give it to God. And so how many of you have questions regarding prayer? Every one of us do. Every one of us do. We're coming in now for a close. Questions regarding prayer. Look at this. Since God already knows my needs, why do I have to ask? Saints of God, we don't inform the Lord with our petitions, but by asking him to provide, guess what we're demonstrating? Complete dependence on him as our only, I want you to catch this, our dependence is on him as our only source of help. Amen. He's got to be the only source of your help. Oh, it's easy to call 911. It's easy to call my aunt, my uncle, my parents, my friend, my husband, my wife. It's easy to get their opinion. And a lot of times we'll run with that opinion. Yeah, you're right. Okay, go be like Job's friends. No. God should be our only source in the time of need. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at that number two. If the Lord has already predetermined what he's going to do in a situation, why should I pray about it? He already knows the outcome, so why should I even pray about it? Yeah, you know, he already knows. Then we walk around like doop-de-doos in life. Boop, doop-de-doop, doop-doop. Saints, although God knows his desired outcome, we don't know that outcome just yet, do we? For example, we don't know whether he'll heal a sick friend, but we should continue to intercede until it becomes well clear that God's going to do something miraculous. Can I get an amen? And also, saints, our prayers may be the means that the Lord uses to bring about his predetermined plan. Because did you know that his plan is better than ours? How many believe that? So here's a question right here. Does the success of God's eternal decrees depend on our prayers? Does it depend on our prayers? Here's the answer. No. God don't need us. He doesn't depend on us. We are dependent upon him. An eternal decree is a course of action that the Lord determined before creation. And these are the things we will do no matter what, is to obey him. Saints, yet we are expected to be fervent and faithful in prayer. If we aren't, our lives will be fruitless and powerless. How many want the power of God? Okay, then just simply do what he's asking us to do, to be in fellowship with him. Here's the next question right here. Do our prayers change God's mind? That's a good question, huh? Oh, God. Like he's been alluding to. Oh, God. Sick him, God. Get him, God. Oh, we're good for that. We're all Jacobs in here. You know who Jacob was? Jacob. Sometimes we manipulate, don't we? We try to get God to do something that, God ain't going to do that. And so, do our prayers change God's mind? No. It doesn't change his mind. I'm going to share a story right here, and you got to see what's happening here. Look, there are passages like in Exodus, and we're coming in for a close. Says the Lord changed. Here's the thing. Moses. He had delivered the children out of Israel, and they were so complaining. They were stiff-necked. They were wah, 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 wah. Just imagine, he had to deal with a million. I like to say this in Spanish. He was dealing with a million chillones. You know what that means? Crybabies. Whiners. They weren't happy to be delivered from the tyranny of Pharaoh. So we come to a little place in Exodus. Look at this. It's right up here. Let me get there right now. Look at this. Exodus 32:8. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. I mean, God is saying, yeah, Moses, you're right. They're stubborn. They're stiff-necked. They won't listen. Look at this. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And I will make you a great nation. I need you to catch this. This is God and Moses talking in prayer. Look at verse 11 here. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? And look at this in verse 12. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them with the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. What God was saying here, he goes, I'm about ready to squash them. And then Moses is pleading, oh God, you brought them out of Egypt. Just imagine what the Egyptians are going to see. They're going to see that you brought them out to kill them. I didn't catch this until God spoke to me clearly. Look at this. And then in 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. So did Moses change his heart? Did Moses change his mind? I said, God, speak to me on this one. And then God spoke to me. Even though God said he was going to destroy them, in the Old Testament, many people were destroyed because they transgressed. Remember when they brought the woman to the, when they caught her in adultery? And they said, Jesus, the law of Moses is to stone her. And then what did Jesus say to the lady? Before he spoke to her, he looked at all of them that had these big rocks. They were going to have the first rock concert. And they were going to get stoned this way. They were going to bash her skull because she was caught in adultery. He said, those of you who have no sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, they started dropping their rocks. Because all of them had sin. Some of them were probably right there enjoying when they were watching her in adultery. Yep. And they couldn't wait to bust in and drag her out. Yep. And then he said to her, where are your accusers? She looked up and says, there is none. He goes, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. So these people should have died in the wilderness. And then God had to show me I didn't destroy them because of my mercy. The same way he had mercy on the adulterous woman, he had mercy on the whole entire nation of Israel that murmured and complained. His mercy overruled the law. Look at it like this. We all deserve to die. Can I get amen? Because we're all, what are born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But when Jesus came, he came to save us from our sin. This is why we have to be careful on pointing out people's sin. Where's the grace? Where's the mercy? Where's God's heart in this? We have to be like God and restore them, help them, build their lives. Because God's, he's a builder. He builds our character. He builds our lives when it has been torn down and almost destroyed by the devil. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. How many are so blessed to know that God had mercy on us? He's had mercy on us. And we're here today to say, God, thank you. I should have been dead. Oh, God, I should have been destroyed. Oh, God, I don't deserve this great salvation. But yet, you gave me salvation when I didn't even deserve it. This is the heart that God wants for his people to have toward one another. No matter how hard, no matter how they wronged you. Bishop's message was incredible last week. But in order to come to that place that we can operate in the will of God, we have to have fellowship with him. We have to be in prayer with him. We got to know his will. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so let me close with these questions. Number one, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now. Brother, you could play a little. Number one. How will you describe the God you pray to? Is he loving to you? Is he mad at you? Do you see faces in heaven and he's doing this to you down there? How do you perceive God? The way you're going to perceive him and know who he is learning who he is through the scriptures. Not by what someone says. Everyone has great opinions. Some people have wonderful advice. And they're meaningful. But God has the truth. God has the answer to our dilemmas. And if you honor him, he will take you so much further in life. Look at number two. Does your concept of him align with his revelation of himself in the scriptures? Or do you just have a figment of your imagination regarding who he is? The heathen nations, because they didn't have a relationship with God, they created idols of stick, of rock, of glass. And then they started worshiping those things. Praise God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Number three, do you consider prayer a serious business or is it something you take lightly? I want to encourage us this morning, saints. Even if it's a minute, you wake up. Consider this. When soon as you wake up, you're yawning and getting the gunk out of the eyes. Tell God you love him. God, I love you. Thank you for another day you've given me. Oh, God, help me. Help me be that blessing to someone this day. Help me to say positive things to someone today. Oh, God, take away the hurt that's in my heart and fill it with joy and peace. Oh, God. I just love you, God. When's the last time you had a conversation? A simple one. It don't even take a minute or two. You know, that alone right there will go a long ways during your day. And then when you turn in, God, thank you. Thank you for this day you have given me. I'm turning in now. Bless me with another day, God, that I could be a blessing to you and be a blessing to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers. Even to those who spitefully use you. That's going to be the hard one there. So what? We've all been hurt. We all know what it feels like being hurt. Get past it. Say, you know what, God? I'm not gonna dwell in that place. I'm gonna dwell with you with joy, unspeakable and full of glory, and I'm gonna pray blessings upon them. End of story. End of story. And watch God do the miraculous. He does, doesn't he? Doesn't he do the miraculous? Is he a miracle God? Oh, yes, he does. And let me just say this. He answers in his time, not our time. You gotta remember that. How would you characterize your prayer life? Start with 1 minute when you wake up. God, I love you. Thank you. As I just shared. And the next day, let it go for a minute and 30 seconds. Take baby steps. Yeah. Like her. She's exercising her voice of praise right now. Hallelujah. Number five, what keeps you from being faithful in prayer? What is it? What hinders you from just, I don't have time? Oh, come on. We have a minute when we wake up, right? And lastly, what are you forfeiting when you don't pray? You know what I'm forfeiting? That joyful day. My wife is my witness. Oh, she's up a good hour or two before I get up. But when I get up, I walk in with joy in my heart. Good morning, honey. How you doing? I tell her I love her. Thank you, God, for another day. She's been such a huge blessing in my life. We could not do ministry. I can't do ministry without her. I need her. And I know she needs me. She may not say that she needs me as much as I need her. I'm just saying this, saints. I need her. I need her. She's the love of my life. Right, brother? Her hair doesn't move. He goes, Sister Yolanda, your hair doesn't move. Listen, God loves all of us in here, no differently. Learn to love. Learn to lay down your life. There's always going to be knuckleheads in our life. They're always going to come and go. But love them through it. When they see you loving on them, guess what? They won't be a knucklehead no more. They'll want what you have. I want what you have, because nothing phases you. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Us first and foremost. Let's pray for the YouTube and Facebook family that's watching right now. If you're watching us for the first time, never giving your heart to Christ, I'm going to ask the church family right now here at Amazing Grace to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your life to Christ, that you would ask God to do the miraculous in your life. And God would save you, bless you, give you a whole new path, a whole new direction. And God will cause you to learn to love others like He has loved you. And so if that's you right now, bow your heart and your head and ask God to come into your life by faith and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Hallelujah. God is worthy. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.